We welcome everyone. Do we have a Rambam? The right one? The Zekin?
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. I'll take it. I'll get it. Right. Why didn't it work?
Okay, thank you.
So we welcome everybody to the... How are you? We welcome everybody to the Shiurim of, this year. What are we, Tavshin Ayin Tes, right? So the idea is to go to learn a little bit of Bava Kamma from the framework of the first parak. And we're just going to start with a little bit of an introduction, which will focus on the question of really what is the nature of the beginning of Bava Kamma, but really of Nezek and of Nizkei Mamon. And I want to start off with the question of whether or not there's an Iser involved in violating somebody else's property and causing him a damage or a loss. Does one violate an Iser? That's really the first question we have to discuss. If so, what Iser and what is the significance of the role that the Iser or the Aveira would play in the more obvious aspect of Nezikin, which is Tashlumin. If there's no Iser, surely that is telling as well. And, what impact does that have on this particular institution, especially when we compare it with parallels that do have an Iser? So that's roughly speaking is our first topic, but it is a little more complicated than I just formulated it. And there's just a lot of issues of material, but it provides, I think, an important backdrop to understanding the totality of the topic. So let me just talk about Bava Kamma just for a minute, the way it's structured, and then I'm going to explain a little better what the question is and the options or the perspective that I just briefly outlined. So Masechet Bava Kamma is really broken up into three topics. The first six prakim, from Daf Beis till Daf Samech Aleph or Samech Beis, where does Merubah start? I think Samech Beis. See in a moment. Yeah, and Samech Beis, Amud Beis. Till Daf Samech Beis, Amud Beis, the first six prakim deal mostly with the laws of damages. And mostly, that means what we call Nizkei Mamon. Nizkei Mamon means not when you damage directly, but when you are connected, to the source of the damage, which mostly means, let's say, you own that which did the damage. You own the ox that gored the other ox or the person. You own the eish, or at least you created the eish. You created the boar, or you own the boar. Whatever the case may be, that's called Nizkei Mamon, meaning the nezik that is caused by your mamon. It's not always mamon. That's a part of the topic. But most of these six prakim talk about Nizkei Mamon. Part of them also speak about Adam Hamazik, and that is a situation where a person himself directly inflicts damage on other people. Not my ox, or my pit, or the H that I produced or allowed to run amok, but where I personally am involved in I knocked into somebody or I destroyed his object, etc. That's called Adam Hamazik. So the first six prakim deal with Nizkei Mamon and Adam Hamazik. And we'll explain that, we'll break that down in just a minute. But that, roughly speaking, the first Mishnah in the Bava Kamma, we always, it's our tradition to always begin, at the beginning, right? And then we usually just go straight, but sometimes we take a little bit of a diversion along the road. So, Arba Avos Nezikin, right? The Mishnah starts that there are four Avos. Avos means, let's say, prime categories, let's say, you know, fathers, meaning as opposed to toldos, the Gemara immediately discusses what the, you know, what the status of toldos are. Toldos are derivatives, right? So the originals, let's say the original categories in the Torah are four: Hashor, Habor, Hamaveh, V'Hahever. Okay. So this is a debate what Maveh is. There's one view in the Gemara Dav Gimel Amud Beis that Maveh is Adam, according to which the Adam HaMazik is in the first Mishnah in Bava Kamma. Okay, the Rambam in Pirshei Mishnayos in Bava Kamma makes note of the fact that he does not accept that interpretation. The reason I'm saying that, instead of just saying, well, there's an argument, you know, in the Gemara about how to interpret the word Maveh in the Mishnah, right, whether it refers to Adam or not, is because I'm trying to make a little bit of a point that I'm certainly going to expand on much more. You're going to hear a lot about this. And that is, I believe the Rambam intentionally, because it doesn't, let me explain, it doesn't really matter much in the end of the day. Everybody agrees there's something called Adam HaMazik, and everybody agrees that the categories of what we call Niske Mamon are all categories that are halachically valid, meaning they are responsible for nezek that they cause. So again, you know, shor, bor, mava, vehever, depending on how you interpret, if mava is adam, then we interpret, well, bor is bor, hever is eish, but, you know, what is shor? If mava is shein, so then it's like shein v'regel, and shor is keren. Right? Keren means, again, we'll discuss all this in great detail, but keren is goring. Goring has a certain, you know, aggressive, intentional, and unpredictable component to it, which is why Karen, you know, has a different status. Karen Tam, right, until the Karen establishes himself as a Mazik, you know, Bessie, the docile cow, all of a sudden starts goring people. There's no way you would have known that, given Bessie's tranquil, composed, you know, peaceful, admirable past. So, like, all of a sudden, you know, Bessie's not acting quite, but you have to give Bessie another chance, right? So, right, how many chances is a debate, but, you know, there's something called a tam and a muad. But the point is that a keren tam is a situation where the nezek is a bit unpredictable, or maybe mishunet, it's aggressive. Again, we need all these things. Whether relate, well, we'll talk about it all. But the halacha is that Karen Tam only pays chatzi nezek, pays half. We need to understand that also. It's a debate in the Gemara whether palga nizka is knasa or mamona, whether the half is considered to be a full chiyuv. And then the question is, well, why don't you pay the whole thing? Or it's a knas, and then the chiddush is that you even pay half. All these very, very important. But there's something called Karen, there's something called Shein. Shein is an animal that, you know, eats, you know, somebody else's, or does some other act which is typical of animals, personal pleasure of the animal, which results in somebody else losing losing money. Right? It's predictable. It's normal. It's expected. We don't particularly look at it as an aggressive act, but it's a nezek. Or a mazik, in the sense that it causes the other fellow's bank account has been depleted by this action. So even if Bessie, in this particular case, you know, was just being Bessie, you know, and there was no, label of being a mazik particularly, but there's an act of hezek. That's called shein. Some people think that mava is shein. Regel means similar. We have to discuss whether there's a difference between shein and regel. But basically, regel means derech hilucho, you know, the cow or the animal, then the animal or whatever it is, you know, does whatever it does, again anticipated, but it's not the hana, you know, which causes the loss, the anticipated natural hana. It's just a derech hilucho. There's a great affinity between Shane and Rega. We'll talk more about this. They mostly share the same halakos, and the question is whether there's any real difference between them, but That's a category called Shein V'Regel. So there's a Karen, there's Shein V'Regel, and there is Eish, right, if a person ignites a fire. Question, why that you know, is chayiv, you know, whether it's considered to be like an extended act of the bailim, isha mishum chitzav, or it's considered to be, you know, your ownership of and therefore your responsibility for the, you know, the conflagration for the fire that you created, isha mishum amono. All these are very fascinating issues. And then something called bor. Bor, of course, is you dig a pit. Classically, you dig a pit in Rishus HaRabim. You may not own the pit, but you created the pit. You're the Yotzer Hamazik, if you will. And those are the cases that everybody agrees are Nizke Mamon and Avos Nizikin. And then there's Adam Hamazik. So at the end of the day, it's fascinating. The Mishnah just says, Arba Avos Nizikin, Ashor Habor Mava Vahaver. Right? We're not sure what Mava is, but either way, you have the other Avos Nizikin, the Nizke Mamons, and maybe Adam, or just excluding Adam. And then the Mishnah says, Lo Hare Ashor, Kare Amave, Lo Hare Amave, Kare Ashor. We'll just read the first Mishnah to be, you know, establishing what it is that we're talking about. In other words, why does the Torah need to spell out these different categories? Why isn't it enough to have one or a bunch of them, and then you could derive some of them at least from the others, right? Which is the Mishnah's way of discussing either a very narrow point, namely, why does the Torah need to explicate these things? Or, in my opinion, more likely, asking a very important conceptual question, and that is, are all the Avos Nezikin, basically, we'll talk about this a lot, are they basically all the same, and the differences are, you know, compensation or Gzeres HaKasu, but basically, it's all the same idea, and they're just examples, or are we dealing with different Mechayvim, different bases, you know, different foundation for the Chiyuv Mazik, right? Anyway, so the Mishnah says, and we'll get back to it. Lo harei hashor karei amave, lo harei amave karei hashor, lo zev zesh sheish ben ruach chayim. If you're talking about something, an animal or something that has, you know, that is alive, karei ha'esh she'im bo ruach chayim. Esh is just amorphous, right? It's a force, but it's not a creature. Right, lo zev zeh shadarkan leilu kolahazik, kare habor. Bor is, of course, in some respects the most singular, because the bor doesn't, act aggressively against the victim. The bor is stationary, and people walk into the bor. Right, so that's what the Mishnah is saying. Zev zeh darkan leilu kolahazik, kare habor shein darkan leilu kolahazik. But it's not a shavven shadarkan lahazik, who shmirasan alech. We'll talk about all these things. Ukeshehizik chava mazik. The Shalim Tashumek Nezek Mimei Tamar. This is the first Mishnah. All the Mishnahs in Bava Kama are written. You know, I don't know why this is so. You know, some Masechtos are different than others, but they're very loaded. The language is very loaded. I mean, the language is very suggestive. It's very hard to read these Mishnahs without knowing the Gemara's, the halachos upon which they're based. That's A. Meaning you need knowledge to read them and to understand them. But more than that, some of the formulations in the Mishnah itself, they're very lumdishly written Mishnayos, in my opinion. So if you want a good example of it, just turn to the Mishnah on Daf Tesamid Beis. This one you can't even read, but unless you know what it means, you can't read it. But once you know what it means, then you keep saying, a lot. So the Mishnah says, Kol shechavti Bishmiraso Hiksharti Esnizko. Okay? So again, you have to scratch your head a little bit. That's just not normal. You know, if you're trying to write something in simple Hebrew, that's not the way to do it. I mean, the words mean some. Once you know what it means, then you can see it. That's what it means. What it really means is Kol Shechavti Bishmiraso Hiksharti. Rashi has two deos, very famous here. Kol Shechavti Es Bishmiraso. If I have an obligation, right, to rein in Bessie or whatever the name of the animal is, or the force is, and I'm negligent about that, and I don't do it, then Hiksharti is Nizko. Right, then somehow, the way Rashi, if you look at Rashi, Rashi has two deos, Shindishayafti Lishomer, Hiksharti is Nizko, Klomar, in other words, again, when everybody says Klomar, you know that they are acknowledging that it's not so simple. Imhizik hichsharti v'zimanti oso hezek shalosh shemartiv yafeh. Kach matzasi lishna achrina hichsharti es nizko olay lahachshir ulatakenis nizko, klomar nichayv l'shalem mipi mori. Rashi has two very famous interpretations of this Mishnah that are really two very critical conceptual perspectives on all of Niske Mamon. That sounds like a big statement, but it's really true. Or the first interpretation of Rashi is that whenever you have the obligation, right, to rein in that force, that's to guard against the nezek that takes place, and you don't, then hichsharti es nizko. It's zimanti es anez. It's as if I am a partner to, I'm part of the cause of the loss. That's a big statement. I didn't do the loss, right? My animal did the loss, right? So because I was obligated to be shomer, it's as if I did it. That's kind of what Rashi said. The second shot is, anytime I'm responsible to rein in this object and it goes and it damages, I've got to make it, you know, I've got to make him whole. I've got to financially take care, and that's I'm responsible for the consequences and for the tashlumin. Saying I have to pay, it comes out of my bank account, it's quite different than saying it's as if I did it on some level, right? But it's just, it's a very, if you continue with the Mishnah, you'll see what I mean. I mean, again, I'm not going to go through the whole thing there, but then the chasim she'em behem me'ilon, the chasim she'em b'nei bris, the chasim hamiyuchadim, b'komakom, chutz mishus hamiyuchadis l'mazik, mishus hanizak, v'mazik k'shuchav amazik, right, l'shale, amazik l'shalem, b'meitava. Just the language of the Mishnayos and Bava Kama require that you know the Gemaras and make you wonder, you know, what beyond just describing, you know, the facts, you know, whether the, you know, the author of the Mishnah isn't also trying to weigh in, you know, on some of the subtleties of why these things are so. In any case, that aside, we'll get plenty of time for that. So the first Mishnah basically outlines four avos nezik, and the Gemara in Dav Gimel Amud Beis argues whether Mava is Adam or not. The Rambam in Pirshei Mishnayos says Mava is not Adam. Mava is Shem. So it always occurred to me, like, why does the Rambam have to weigh in on that question? Everybody agrees there's something called Adam Amazik, and everybody agrees that, you know, these other categories are Chayiv. There's no Nafkamina, and it's an interesting debate. But why did the Rambam need to weigh in on it? But I think it's very important, because the question is whether or not this first six, I'm talking structurally still, the first six chapters of Bava Kama, are they really speaking about one topic, broadly speaking, right? Or two topics, or maybe five topics, right? Or maybe some other lower number than the five, right? In other words, what I'm really asking is, you know, how different are, you know, the Avos Nezikin from each other? Are they really like, you know, one large, you know, group with small differences? You know, but, you know, differences that don't really establish an independent identity. There are different cases, slightly different, you know, alterations, compensation, and so on and so forth. Or are there some big divisions here? The biggest division would be to say that every one of the Avos Nezikin is a separate mechayev, works differently. Right? In some cases, it's the lack of shmira. In other cases, it's the ownership. In a third case, it's creating the mazik. In another case, you know, it's, you know, the fact that you are the owner, per se. You know, not the fact that you shirk responsibility or that you're mitzuraf, you know, to the act of hezek. Are there five differences? At least it's easy to say that there are two. Beyond that, I guess the next easiest thing would be to say that there are, you know, three. Okay, not just because of the number, but because bor, let's say, you know, is so different, you know, from the others, as is already reflected in the Mishnah. So these are the questions. You just start reading the Mishnayos, you know, these are important questions. But I believe the Rambam was making a strong statement that in his opinion, Adam HaMazik doesn't really belong in the first Mishnah because Adam HaMazik, you know, is really quite different. And that's going to be very important. I'll just tell you now, and we're going to get back to this because it's very important for other Rambams, but the Rambam in his structuring of this Masechta, these dinim, did something quite remarkable. I don't know how many, you know, people really zero in on it, but as I said before, I'm in the middle of discussing the first six prakim. But the first six prakim are about Nizkei Mamon and Adam HaMazik. And even that, I'm trying to point out, you know, that, you know, how is that really divided? Fine. After the first six prakim comes the seventh parak, which we did like 10 years ago, I believe. That was like parak Meruba, 10, 11, I don't remember what it was. Now, Meruba discusses the topic of Geneva. Then, in the ninth and tenth parak, notice we skipped one, the Mishnayos, and therefore the Gemara, continues to discuss not Geneva so much, but Gezela. Right? It's called a Gozel Kama, a Gozel Basra. So basically, parak number 7, 9, and 10, whatever the difference are between Geneva and Gezela, we discussed it then, but you know, we'll probably touch on it again, for sure. But obviously, Geneva, Gezela, you know, whatever their differences are, you know, they somewhat belong together. In between Geneva and the two Gezelas is Chavala, Perek HaChovel, the eighth Perek. So basically, what I would say is, in the biggest, broadest sense, right, the first six Prakim are about Mazik, which means Nizkei Mamon, the four, and Adam HaMazik, and there too we're trying to figure out how different are the divisions, but it's still, you know, relative to the rest of it, it's the theme of Mazik, right? Then the next theme is Geneva Gezela, Perek 7, 9, and 10. And the third theme is Chovel. Okay. In the very beginning of the Masechta, on Dav Daled, the Gemara quotes Rav Chiya and Rav Oshia, who had larger numbers or scheme of Mazikin or Mazikin. Here. We have a whole discussion here about, you know, how many Nezikin, how many are there? Look here on Dalet Omid Beis. Tani Rav Oshia, right? Shlosha Osar Ovos Nezikin. Everybody have that? The asterisk on Dalet Omid Beis. Shomachinam, Hashoel, Nosei Sachar, Hasocher, Nezik Tzar, Ripui Sheves, Boshes, Arba Demas Nisan, Hatlesar. Again, we'll get back to it. We get to that part of the Gemara. We'll go straight at some point. But the point is, Rav Oshia, you know, his 13, obviously he diluted, you know, what we mean by Avos Nezikin somewhat. That's an interesting question. When you have an expanded list, right, so you're diluting the concept, but are you also taking a stand on, you know, some of the extra items having, you know, you mean by Mazik is less rigorous than the people who think that there are only four, right? But is it still significant that you put these things under the rubric of Mazik from their point of view? Anyways, so what he really has, the 13, as we know, are Arbal v'Sezikin, the four Shomrim. It's not so obvious that the four Shomrim are Mazikim, right? Then you have Chabala, Nezek Tzari, Pushev, Sevoshes. So that's one list. And then you have another list, and that's Rabbi Chiya, who has, not 13, but he has 24. If you go down to the next asterisk, Tana Rabbi Chiya, Esrim Ve'arba Avos Nezikin, Kefel, Dalad Behe, Ganav Gazlin, Edom Zomim, Onus Mefatim, Otsi Shemra, Metame, Medameya, Menasech, right? You have, and then the 13. Okay. So, but the point is, right, this is an interesting question. What do we... Is this just a mnemonic device, you know, word game, or is there some significance to these expanded lists? Okay. The point is that the Rambam didn't go that far, but the Rambam in structuring, the Arach HaZaka, so he has this very exciting book that he published, you know, one of the 14, called Sefer Nezikin. Right? So Sefer Nezikin of the Rambam and the Choshen Mishpat, we'll see in a moment, mostly followed through with this, includes, right? Starts with Nezikin Mamon. Okay, that makes sense. That's the beginning of Bava Kama. Okay, then comes Hilchos Geneva. That makes sense because the seventh parak is parak Meruba. Okay, the truth is that the interruption between Geneva, the hefsek between Geneva and Gezela with Kabbalah, but the eighth parak interrupting, you know, the ninth and the tenth. That's a question on the Mishnah. I mean, the Rambam, sense of organization, impelled him, to ignore that in the Mishnah. Right? Again, what the question is, what is it doing in the Mishnah? I think there's an answer to that, but we'll leave that for now. So then the Rambam has after Geneva, Gezela, which makes sense. And then he has Kabbalah. Right? And then he tops it off with Hilchos Rotzeach Ushmiras Nefash. So the Rambam's Avos Nezikin, or the Rambam's Sefer Nezikin, right, includes very logically the full dinam of Mazik, the full dinam of Genevu Gezela, the full dinam of Chovel, and then Rotzeach. What am I trying to say? What the Rambam did that was not predictable was that he completely extricated Adam HaMazik from Hilchos Nizkei Mamon. In other words, with Rambam's presentation is, the first six perkim, one would think, and then comes the seventh per, right? You have the dinim of Nezek, and then the din of Geneva and Gezela, and then Chavala. The Rambam put Adam HaMazik together with Adam HaChovel, mostly in Perikei, and we'll discuss it. And I think that there are other comments that the Rambam makes as well that are consistent with that. That is a major statement. The Tur and the Shulchan Aruch did not do that. They made some alterations, but they basically have Nezek, Dinei Nizkei Mamon, and Adam HaMazik side by side. Right? They do not put Adam HaMazik into Hilchos Chovel. They changed the order also of the Tur and Shulchan Aruch, but they kept Adam HaMazik, and Adam HaMazik is separate from Nizkei Mamon, but they're contiguous. So, when the Rambam says that Mabe is not Adam, in my opinion, even though there's no nafkamina, like, why does he need to weigh in on that debate? Right? There are two views in the Gemara. In my opinion, he's making a very important comment. What he's saying is, you should know, my view of Adam HaMazik is that it belongs in Hilchos Chovel, and it certainly, therefore, doesn't belong in the first mission in Bava Kama. It's in the first six prakim, but conceptually, it's a din in Chovel. Okay, anyways, the bigger point is that... I'm sorry?
Why isn't Geneva and
Gezela? No, because they're much more specific than that. Okay. As we'll see in a moment. Right, but they're much more, as we'll see, violate separate surim, and they're on dinim, there's this kinyanic zela, there's all these things that you don't have in mazik, right? In the broadest, lowest common denominator sense, they're mazikim, which is why the Rambam put them in sefer nezikim. That's true. That's why I'm mentioning Rav Chiya, Rav Oshia. The Rambam had his own version of Rav Chiya and Rav Oshia. Right? And it includes Geneva, Gezela, Chovel, and Rotzeach alongside Nizkei Mamon. Okay. Either way, according to the Rambam, we'll take the Rambam for the moment, Sefer Nezikin, right? The compatriots, if you will, of Mazik are Chovel, Rotzeach, Geneva, and Gezela. Right? And included in Geneva and Gezela, by the way, is also some satellite cases like Oshek, right, which is Kovesh Skar Sachir, person you don't pay him his wages, or so any other kind of obligation which you withhold, it's in which you steal from somebody by withholding, that which you owe him, well, Sashok, etc. Okay, so the point I want to make is as follows. If you look at the associates, the members of the club, if you will, according to the Rambam, and just in our natural, just instinct. So something very different about Mazik from the other cases. And that precisely refers to the role of Avera or Iser. Let me say it this way. Let's start with a fact and then we'll kind of double backwards. Every other member of the Rambam's club, right, has a very explicit, very specific Iser. And the Rambam, begins Hilchos Geneva and Hilchos Gezela and Hilchos Chovel and Hilchos Rotzeach by speaking about the Avera that you violate when you commit, you know, one of these terrible actions. But he doesn't hide it. You know, he makes it clear that there's an Iser and Avera involved, and he quotes the Pasuk as well. With the exception of Mazik. What we'll see in Mazik is that in the beginning of Hilchos Nezkei Mamon, I'm going to read it to you just a second, the beginning of Hilchos Nezkei Mamon, the Rambam does not mention any Iser at all. He only mentions the formulation of Iser in Perek Hei, Hilchos Nezkei Mamon, Halacha Aleph. And I'm going to, I don't know if I'll get that, I'm pretty sure I won't get to that today, but I think he does that for very good reason. But why he doesn't begin with Iser and why Iser is mentioned only, in that context is a puzzle that requires explanation. Odom HaMazik also is mentioned, as I say, in Hilchos Chovel. In Perek Hei, Hilchos Chovel, the Rambam, does make some references to there being a violation. But he never quotes the Pasuk, what that violation is. And again, it's the relationship between Adam HaChovel and Adam HaMazik, considering the Rambam intentionally, right, took Adam HaMazik out of Nizkei Mamon, right, and with a hefsek of Geneva Ugezela, put it into Hilchos Chovel. Given that, it's fascinating to chart what the relationship between Adam HaMazik and Adam HaChovel really is. And what I'm going to tell you the secret now, at least what I think the secret is, and that is the Rambam has a very complex view on this matter. It's a kind of a dialectical relationship. On the one hand, he sees, Adam HaMazik, against the background of Adam HaChovel, and that also dramatizes the differences between them. So he ends up thinking that, it's more than just Mazik, but it's not quite Chovel either. Okay? So that, you can take my word for that for the moment, but we are absolutely going to document that, and if after we've documented it you're not convinced, then you can forget everything I just said. Not everything, but at least that point. So the question is why? If you look in Parshas Mishpatim, right, which is the locus classicus, right, that's where all the psukim of Arba Avos Nezikim of Nizkei Mamon are. It's possible that Adam HaMazik is in Shmo, is elsewhere. Makeb, Adam Yishalmena, and so on. Makeb Adam Yumas, Makeb Behema Yishalmena, Makeb Adam Yumas. Some people think that's a makar for Adam HaMazik. But, including Bali Tosa, some days, some at Aleph have that possibility. But, it's not explicit. It's not explicit that that's an Iser either way. It sounds like it's a description. How about what? No, that's not Adam HaMazik. No. So basically, the question is what? Just in Torah Shabbat's presentation of the Parsha of Mazik, what I'm trying to say is there is no obvious. I'm emphasizing the word obvious because there are people who suggest, for example, the Torah uses the expression the lo yishmerenu be'alav. Right? So they say in the name of Reb Chaim and the Rabbeinu Chananel on Daf Tezvav Amud Aleph, maybe we'll look at it, does seem to interpret this way, that v'lo yishmerenu be'alav isn't just a description, perhaps. One way to read it is it's a description. But if you did the Shmira, of course you're Potter. If you didn't do Shmira, and you could have, then you're Chayim. V'lo yishmerenu be'alav, you're Chayim. The way that Reb Chaim and maybe Rabbeinu Chananel earlier, the Rach and the Grach, read it, was that Veloish Merenu Balav, he violated his obligation of Shmira. That's the Iser. Okay? So, that's possible, but it's certainly not obvious, not the way most Mefarshim read the Pasuk. Put it this way. When it comes to Geneva and Gezela, there are explicit psukim in the Torah, lo signovu, lo sigzol, right? They're explicit in the Rambam. The Rambam begins Hilchos, you know, Geneva and Hilchos Gzela, kol agonif mama mishover pruta l'mala, obra lo sase shenemar lo signovu, right? The Koteret and Sefer Mitzvah Shalo Lignov Mamon. And the same is true in Hilchos Gezela, right? Perek Aleph, Shalo Ligzol and Sefer Mitzvahs. Kola Gozel Chaber Shavar Pruta Ober Belos Ase Shonemar Lo Sigzol. And then you have, Halacha Gimel, which is, Halacha Dalid, which is the Iser of being Oshek, right? Basically, the Rambam is not shy, not in Sefer Mitzvot, not in the Koteret, not in the beginning of these halachos. He's not shy to point out that these are averos, that these are isurim, and what the mokar is. The same is true in Hilchos Chovel Amazik when he talks about Chovel. Right, the Rambam starts Hachovel b'chavero and so on. He starts off on other matters. One second. Minayin. And then the Rambam finally comes around. In Halacha Yalaf, he speaks about Adam Amazik. And then later on, in, what is it, Perek? Hey, he says, Asal Adam Lachbo Bein Ba'atzo Bein Chavero Lo Amav Lo Hachovu Bavad El Kalamak Adam Kashim Yisrael. Right, Hareza over below Sasation, Emily Yosef Lakoso. So here he's a little bit late to it. It's not Perek Aleph, but he has it in Perek Hay. When he talks about Adam Amazik, which he mentions in Perek Aleph Cheskovel, but mostly in Perek Hay, there's no pasuk. He talks about there being some sort of implicitly an Aveir and an Iser, but he doesn't quote a pasuk. Again, Hilchos Rotzeach. Again, this is the final one, and in Sefer Nezikin, the Rambam is not shy, to quote the Aveira. Right? Kol ha'horeg nefesh mi'Yisrael over below sase shenemar lo sirtzach, shalo lirtzoach, etc. Why is it that the Torah Shebetzav, and again, you can't really blame the Rambam, the point is that this is the pattern in Torah Shebetzav. Right? The psukim are explicit when it comes to these other members of the Nezikin club that there is an Aveira. Right? There are Gemaras that speak about the parameters of these Isurim and Averos, and that quote these Psukim and Darshan them more fully. And when it comes to both Adam Amazik and Niske Mamon, we have Psukim that certainly identify, and establish Chiyuv and Tashlumin, but we don't have a Pasuk which unequivocally, right, formulates a clear Isur. And the Rambam follows suit with that, and never ever quotes clearly a pasuk. He does say in Perek Hey, Hilchos Niske Mamon Halacha Aleph. You have this here, by the way. I put a lot of the Rambams in the end, so actually you can follow it from here. But if you look at the beginning of the Rambam in Hilchos Niske Mamon, this is on page. I'm guessing 6, right? Okay, page 6. Right, page 6 I have here, Perek Hey, Halacha Aleph, what I just mentioned in Hilchos Chovel. Also, Lodim Lachbo, Ben Yatsum, Ben Chavero, etc. Compare that to Hilchos Niske Mamon, which we have reproduced somewhere here, right? Yeah. On page 9, starting from 16:17, Rama Hilchos Niske Mamon Hagdama. Hilchos Niske Mamon, Yesh Bechlalon Dalid Mitzvah Saseh, V'zeu Pratan. Din Hashor, Din Hever, Din Bar, Din Havara. You notice that Adam Amazik is not there, because Adam Amazik is dealt with in Hilchos Chovel. Okay. So, the dinim are formulated, but not the iser. Right? The Rambam begins Parak Aleph Halach Aleph with the chiyuv. Kol nefesh chaya shehi b'reshusa shel adam shezika abaylim chayavim l'shalim. Right? It's a description of his culpability, his account of his monetary obligation. Shaharei mamona mizik shenemar ki yigof ishor shoreiru echad ashar echad shar behema chaya of l'dibra kosuv b'shor elabahov. Right? Not a specific, that's not for your Rolls Royce. It doesn't have to be a Cadillac, it doesn't have to be a cow, whatever it is that you own, right, that you're responsible for, Dibra Kosov Behoveh. But there's no Iser. It's only in Perikei, Halacha Aleph, in a very particular case, which I will examine, that the Rambam says in line 25, Mipnei She'asur La'adam Lahazik V'Lishalei Masha Hizik. Because you're not allowed to do this. That is the only place, as far as I know, in Nuchas Niskei Mamon, where the Rambam uses the expression usur. Okay? So, I mean, why here, and only here, and still without a pasuk? Oh. So we're going to explain that. And then, of course, in Halacha Beis, Lefika Chasru Chacham Legadu Behem Adaka, that's already Din Drabanan, etc. Well, we'll talk more about that. Oh. So what is going on here? So it's in the pattern of Torah Shebichsav, right? At the same time, Torah Shebichsav, the Gemara, the Rambam. Why? Yeah. Oh, so we're going to get to that in a second. That's 100%. He said, first of all.
What?
He said, first of all, I was ready for more.
I will serve the following.
Okay. You'll see what I do with the first of all, and then you'll see if you even want to bother with the rest. Okay. Okay. So, what is going on here? And, so let me start off with a Gemara that I like to quote a lot. And that's the first one that we have here, which I think crystallizes the issue in a very important way. You know, it's just like a nice little Gemara, but, you know, I think, you know, it underscores the issue. The Gemara says here on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph in Bava Kama, you can either look in the Masechta or the sheets. Tan Rabbana, Chasidim Arishonim Hoyu Matzniim, Kotoseim Uskuchiyoseim Betosadoseim, Umamikim Lehem Gimel Tvach. So the Braisa says that Chasidim Arishonim, right, this Braisa was written before, you know, the 18th century, right?
Ooh.
And who said that? Okay. No criticism intended. I'm saying Chasidim Arishonim is a reference to, what does a chasid mean? Right, it's not a particular group, right? The reason the Chasidim call themselves Chasidim is because there's a certain association. Well, what are Chasidim? Basically, as the Rishonim explained it, people who do lefnim b'shur asadim. That's what it means. Right? Yeah, okay, right. I mean, the Ziknei Yerushalayim. So Chasidim and Rishonim were involved lefnim b'shur asadim. Okay? So what do they used to do? They used to bury their thorns and their glass shards, I guess, you know, three tefachim deep into their cart. That's what the Gemara says. Kadesh le'yakev amachareish. Rav Shesha shodi le'benura. Rav Shesha used to throw his in the fire. Rava shodi le'bedageles into the, you know, choppy waters. Amrav Yehuda Haiman de Boilim, have a chasida. If you want to be a chasid, right? Again, you know, there are more than one way to become a chasid. Very important to know. Lekayim mili de nezikin. You should fulfill matters of nezikin. Rav Amar mili de avos, Amar la mili de brachos. Okay, it's like a very small, pithy Gemara, but I like it very much. The problem is as follows, right? If you had to pick an area of halacha that was the most basic and elemental, the least likely candidate to be called Chasidus, right, it would be the laws of Nezek. There's nothing more elemental in any legal system than the laws of Nezek. Any society requires Dine Nezek. Otherwise, Ishes Chaveir Chayim Bula'o. Right? You'll have people destroying each other's property. Basic protection, the right, you know, quid pro quo, as I call it in this case, meaning tit for tat, you destroyed my field, you have to pay me. That basic concept, right, any system of law that purports to be minimally, right, fair and effective has to have din in Ezekiel. So Hayman de Boilem have a chasida, that's chasidus, that's a fnim mishur sadin. And we can talk about lekiyumi. You don't fulfill mili din Ezekiel, you avoid damaging other people. So what is this Gemara talking about? Bishlomo, Hilchos Brachos, right, and Hilchos Avos. You know, Brachos, you know, contains, you know, great wisdom and secrets, you know, into our relationship with the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Right? The secret, you know, to that relationship and to certain theological appreciation of nature and of man's, you know, particular condition lies in tefillah and in Hilchos Brachos. But Nezikin, as I say, is any, never mind, but anyway, any system of law has to have Dine Nezikin. It's just very, very basic, very uncomplicated. Avos, right, that's morality, right, you know, our obligations to others, right? Right, that certainly can be a basis for Lifnim Meshura Sadin. But Nezikin? But if we look more carefully at the Gemara, the example provides the solution. And that is, the Chasidim HaRishonim didn't avoid blatant Nezek perpetrated on other people. Doesn't say, oh, he didn't go into the other guy's field and burn it down. You know, he's a chassid. He's being makayim, you know, mili de nezik. That's what they said. What they said was, in his own property, where man is supposed to be sovereign and has full jurisdiction in his own property, right? Yeah? I know there are, like, you know, there are legal practitioners on that side of the room. Yeah, people have jurisdiction in their own property, mostly.
In some society.
In every society, man has some sovereignty in his property, right? So, subject to the state. Well, it's like an eminent domain kind of thing.
Well, not eminent domain. You're only sovereign to the extent that the government allows you to be sovereign.
I understand. Okay.
Well, Karl Marx might not agree.
Right, I understand. But that's because he didn't really... Right, because Karl Marx didn't really believe in ownership. Individual ownership. Right, but the halacha does believe in individual ownership, right? I mean, we also have an eminent domain.
Yeah,
that's... The eminent domain. Right, I understand. So, basically, the point is that I have to limit... You know, my own use of property because of somebody who might enter into my possession?
Is that what it means? He buried stuff so that someone else who comes in with a mafrisho would not injure his own plow?
Seems like it.
Okay, and then what is nura mean and what is...
No, so how do you get rid of these little mazik things? You bury them, you throw them in the river, you burn them? Meaning you can't leave around the little... Well, why not say, it's my property, I can do whatever I want. If I want to jeopardize myself, and if I want to believe... If somebody wants to come into my property, let him... Not buyer beware, let a trespasser beware, or invited, you know, guest beware. He's in my property. My property, I'm sloppy. Just like my sensibility, you know, in terms of my, you know, sense of aesthetic. Why can't... Am I obligated to... You know, to make sure that my bad taste doesn't, you know, assault somebody else's sensibility If he wants to come to my house, then he has to, you know, live with my Kiddush cup collection or whatever it is. You know, it's my responsibility to make sure that his, you know, refined aesthetic sense is...
He's not victimized.
What?
He's not victimized.
That he's not victimized in that particular way. So, of course, this is a little bit different. But the point is that if we're talking about a... again, it's not clear in the Gemara, but we're talking about a trespasser, we're talking about an invited guest, but even if we're talking about an invited guest. Right? I like having glass. The obstacle course is, you know, is exciting to me. It challenges me. Or I'm just too... I'd prefer that. I'd prefer the, you know, to the laziness or to the hard work of neutralizing it. So it's a remarkable thing when you think about it. The truth is, the whole institution, we'll talk about this more, of, you know, Niske Shchenim, Hezekria, you know, there it's a little bit more obvious too, but it's similar to this, is, I mean, the Ramban puts it this way a little bit in the beginning of Bavasra, you are, you know, being asked to limit your conduct in your own property because of the impact that it has on others.
You know,
what's that? I just said it. It's great. It's one of the examples I just gave. So the point is that is Chasidim Arishonim. That is Lifnei Mesuras Hadin. Harchakas Nezikin is not elemental and basic. And there are probably many societies. Again, I haven't done a study because I'm not a historian of law. I don't think it's that difficult to do the study, frankly, if anybody wants to. I doubt that there are many legal systems, you know, that don't consider such requirements to be lifnim shur sadin, or maybe just, you know, even more, you know, supererogatory than that. Certainly not obligatory. Oh. So now the question is, apparently there are two elements to Jewish nezikin law, right? There is the elemental basic types that you would expect any society would have. In other words, for me not to go and walk in your and burn down your field, you know, it seems pretty basic. Or that I would have to pay, put it that way, is certainly very basic. But let's say I'm indirectly the cause of some loss. Is that so obvious? Both in terms of Tashlumin and in terms of Iser. Well, let's put it this way. Harchakas Nezikin of a certain type is called in the Gemara Chasidus. And Likiyume Mili de Nezikin. But is that also true? Meaning, is there a moral aspect, an Iser and Heter aspect to other, even more basic aspects of Nezikin? Or maybe there are two completely different dinim. The elemental parts of Nezikin are not about Yisur at all. They're quid pro quo. If I burn down your field, then I have to pay for it. Right? But there's no Yisurim involved. Or no. Maybe it's not all about money. It's not about dollars and cents. It's not about, you know, cause and effect. It's about, just like there's a kiyum in the Zikin, in the Lifnei Meshuras Hadin, maybe there's also an Yisur Hazik. That's the question. In other words, when it comes to, we'll take it from the other side, when it comes to Geneva and Gezela and Rotzeach and Chumel, it's clear, number one, we're talking about a particular tzura of what you're doing. Right? Much of the dinim of Geneva and Gezela are to try to sort out what constitutes, what's the difference between them. You need a kinyan, it has to be this way and not that way. Right? The act itself of Geneva and Gezela is an act, you know, that assaults, you know, the other person. And that's certainly a case in Chavala. Right? We don't consider Chavala to only be about loss, only be about dollars and cents. We're going to analyze Chavala a little more, and we'll try to demonstrate, as we have in the past, that maybe the opposite is true. Even when you pay in Chavala, it's kind of like kofar money, it's blood money. Because you can't really pay for it. It's priceless. It's not... You know, Eidon Mochel Rosh Eivarim of his own, and he can't buy you know, his way out of Chavala either. Again, the assault aspect, even raising his hand, is a Rasha. Right? In Chavala, right, Pen Yosef, the Bakar is from the Shliach Bezdin, who's giving Malkus at the behest of Bezdin, but he does too much. That's called assault, and he violates an Iser. And then, you know, the Gemara says in Rambam, quote, Kal v'chomer, somebody who just you know, gratuitously assault somebody. It's not just about, there is, of course, a monetary aspect, right? You know, hey, dvarim, nezek tzari b'shem sabashes. At least the nezek part seems like it's very quid pro quo monetary oriented. The Rambam probably holds it's not really so true, and Reb Chaim develops that as well. We'll see all this. Reb Chaim Hilchos Tohen v'Nitan, Perikei. But certainly there are aspects of Chovel, maybe all aspects of Chovel, are rooted in the Yisur, much more than they are rooted in Mammon. Rotzeach clearly is not about money, right? It's the most heinous, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Rotzeach, you know, that it's the most heinous of crimes. Well, we know this, but it is the most heinous of crimes. The Rambam has, you know, different formulations, whether about a Zara is the worst Aveira or Rotzeach. I mean, they're both worst Aveiros in different ways, right? So Geneva and Gezela for the Rambam. Also, the Tzura, the Maisa, the implication behind what you did is part of the story. Even in Los Ashok, it's not just about, again, in you know, years past when we did learn Maruba, I tried to develop further the chiluk that the Rav used to make in the name of Reb Chaim, and that is that Gezela relative to Geneva is more oriented towards the money, the loss. And Geneva is more about the Maisa Geneva. But having said that, of course there are hefsed elements in Geneva, and there are Maisa and Tzura, Maisa Veira elements in Gezela. It's only a question of the balance between them. But you're talking about Mazik. Mazik is a little trickier because there's no tzura, no defined action, right? It's effect oriented. Moreover, its effect orientation is so much more about the actual loss, the quid pro quo. Now the question is, ad kedei kach that there is no iser, or at least that the iser isn't really part of the mechayev? It's just about the money, or not? That's the question. And this is a very important question. So is it treated differently in Torah Shabbat Sab? Yes. It's certainly treated differently in the Rambam. Right? And as we'll see, we'll discuss, is it treated differently, you know, enough that there's real nafkamina. So getting back to your point for a moment, there are at least three Gemaras, maybe more, maybe four, and maybe some other indications, that imply that there is an Isur Lahasik. What are they? Let's talk about the categories. One is, you mentioned Einon Shemin Adin, right? So we'll talk about that. The expression anyway, the Mechilta applies the rule of Einon Shemin Adin, right? You can't derive, the conclusion that punishment is to be implemented from a kal v'chomer. The Mechilta applies that to the case of Bor, we'll see in a minute, which is one of the Niskei Mamlos. So if you take it linguistically, certainly kipshuto, ein onshin min adin, it sounds like the tashlumin of nezek Bor is an onesh. Onesh has a connotation of Isur and Aver. Onish isn't Tashlumin. So if you take it literally, that's what you were asking, correct? Okay, good. So, no, I mean, who said that we're Onshin? Maybe it's Tashlumin. I mean, I made your question better than it was. No. Ein onshin elam kein mazirin means that you can't have a result onesh unless you have a clear aveira which you violated. But no one ever said that nezikin's tashlumin is onshin. So that's not a problem. The bigger problem is that the mechilta says ein onshin min adin, or discusses ein onshin min adin in connection with nizkema. So we'll talk about that. That's one. I'll just give you the three or the four to look at, and then we're going to discuss each one of them and see how they are possibly treated. The second one, parallel, is the din of Ein Shliach Udvar Aveira. We find at least two sugyas in which the expression "ein shliach l'dvar aveira," that let's say somebody says to me, you know, go burn down, you know, somebody else's, a third party's field. Reuven says to Shimon, burn down Levi's field for me. Do me a favor. Be a good shliach, burn down Levi's field. Right? So the Gemara says in Kiddushin, we'll look at it inside in a minute, that you know, when it comes to Tashlumin, we collect from Shimon, who burnt down Levi's field. We don't collect from Reuven. Because ein shliach l'dvar aveira, divrei Rav, divrei Talmud, divrei Mishomin. Again, if you take literally the phrase ein shliach l'dvar aveira, it sounds like burning down his field is aveira. Correct? That's the second. The same idea is found in Sugya in Bava Kamma, and daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, which we'll also look at in a minute. Bava Kamma Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara uses the expression "ein shliach l'dvar aveira" also about bor shel shutfin. So if you take it literally, it sounds like there's an isur and an aveira. The third category, I'll look at each of these in a second. The third category is kam le'bedraba mine. Right? The Mishnah and Lamed Daled, we'll see this also in a minute. We'll just try to get all these in before we stop today. The Mishnah discusses whether or not we apply the rule of kam le'bedraba mine to nezek or not. The Mishnah says there's a difference between, you know, a person and an animal. If a person burns down a field on Shabbos, right? So there's kam le'bedraba mine because he violates Shabbos, and therefore he's pater min hatashlumin. But if an animal does it, the animal isn't violating Shabbos, right? So there should be a chiyuv tashlumin because there's no kam le'bedraba mine. But kam le'bedraba mine, the principle of kam le'bedraba mine, is based on the ruling or the principle of mishum risha achas atamachayvo, vi'i atamachayvo mishum shtei rishios. So characterizing nezek, right, as a rishus, again, if you are literal about it, seems to indicate that there is some sort of an avera. So rishus, onesh, and avera, right, linguistically at least, connect the act of nezek to an iser, to an aveira. Yeah. The question is, what do you do with those makoros if you really think that there really isn't an iser, or that the iser, you know, is not necessarily prominent in the din of tashlumin?
It doesn't really speak to the Rav's question about why there's no explicit point you have to go searching as opposed to all the others.
Right.
When you have an explicit iser.
Yeah, either way, you're saying that would remain a question. I'm just trying to show that phenomenologically there's a huge difference here between the other members of the club and Ezekiel. Now, I'm just trying to look at the evidence on both sides, but you're right, even if that is the case. Now, if there is an Iser, let me say something else, it still remains your point, which is you still have to explain why the different kind of treatment, unless you dismiss it, but it's also possible that we might explain those makoros in a way which isn't so relevant to the chiyuv tashlumin. And that needs to be weighed a little bit too. Meaning, even if there is an iser, it might matter whether the iser is what we call an iser klali, right? And like an additional aspect, or whether or not it is something more specific to the act of nezek and part of the mechayiv of nezek. So, for example, there's a whole group of Rishonim and then Achronim who suggested that Nezek, right, comes under a larger rubric. For example, the Adraman, second paragraph of Basra, speaks about it in terms of, you know, the Fnei Velasitei Mikshal, the Haftal Reacha Kamocha. The Chinuch I have here, actually, in Reish Mem Gimel, I think. Second. Oh. Yeah. Cool. Here. What is it? Page? 3. Okay. Oh, 5. Got it. So the Chinuch is talking about the Haftal Riacha Kaboka. Enoch says, it's not 5:23, is it? One second. I'm guessing it's before this. What is it? 24, yeah. Lehev is called Echad Yisrael Avas Nefesh. Kolma Shenachmol al Yisrael v'al Mamono. Kemo Shadam Chomel al Atzmo u'Mamono. We have to rach. Kamoka means to treat your neighbor, right, the same way that you would want to be treated, and that includes not only your person but also your possessions. V'amr zecharnu lebracha, da'lok sani lechabrech lo savid. V'amr b'sifrei, amr b'kiv zekal gadol b'torah, chomer shahar b'mitzvos shabatorah tluyim b'kach. Sha'oev chavero kenafsho, lo yignov mamono, lo yinaf es ishto, right? He's not going to steal his money, he's not going to betray him in terms of his marriage, but lo yonehu b'mamon, he won't try to also cheat him, but lo bedvarim, but lo yasik gvulo, v'lo yazik lo b'shum tzad. And the chinuch here says that nezek is under the rubric of v'haf l'rach ha'kavach. It's the view in the Ramah. The Rosh in his famous tshuva says that you're not allowed to mazik acherim, you know, because the Torah says derachel darchei noam, chol nesivosei hashalom. So it's a violation of that. Nasha Chachma is a piece that talks about bor, maybe only bor specifically, it's hard to know, where he again talks about lefnei v'lesitein michshol, right? There's a whole group, the Rashash in Ksuvis, and Afid Chesmed Beis, speaks about Hashavas Aveda. If there's Hashavas Aveda, Kal v'chomer, you're not allowed to, you know, destroy somebody's property, right? So there is a, what I'm trying to say is, there is possibly an idea that Mazik Chavero, right, comes under some sort of overarching, you know, halachic principle. And that's our instinct. We should also pay attention to our instinct. Our instinct is that, you know, a proper halachic person, even if he has very deep pockets and he is, you know, totally going to pay top dollar every time he burns down his velo's, what? Meitav. Yeah, that's right. Every time he burns down his neighbor's field, it doesn't seem like, you know, that's such a proper thing to do, right? Doesn't think like it's just, you know, quid pro quo. That's our instinct. But we might solve that, you know, instinctive problem by saying that has nothing to do with nezek per se. It has to do with drachah darchei noam, or lifnei v'lisitei nichshol, or hashavas aveda, or v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha. The Ritva miksav yad, which is really kind of the Ramah school in Gittin, and Nun Gimel Amud Beis, says it's osisna sachicha b'vavecha, you know, kamocha. He has also a few of them, you know, that he throws in. But that doesn't necessarily mean that that's a player in Dine Nezikin. It just means that, you know, it satisfies the instinctive moral problem, but it doesn't necessarily mean that this is a fundamental principle in Nezik. It wouldn't explain, you know, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveir, if that's all it meant. It wouldn't explain and it wouldn't explain Einon Shemin Adin. Because those three, right, imply that the Tashlumin itself is connected to the fact that we're dealing with an Onesh, an Aveira, a Risha, etc. So while there is this whole group of Rishonim and Achronim who explain that the Isra of Mazik, you know, that there is an Isra Lahazik, right? And by the way, I'll just add, if it comes under one of those wider rubrics, there might be a difference between onus and ratzon. If it comes under one of those wider rubrics, there might be a difference between somebody, you know, who is incorrigible, you know, and does it all the time, as opposed to somebody who, you know, does it once, let's say out of anger, right? I don't know whether that's, you know, a violation of, you know, of all these things. Moreover, one could also distinguish between, you know, v'haftu l'acha kamocha is a kiyum, you know, shavas aveda is a kiyum. Not all of these our explanations for something being an Isser. So there's this whole group. On the other hand, if we were to find a more specific Isser of Mazik, V'lo Yishmerenu Ba'alav, we'll see soon, maybe that it's a kind of a Gezela, or a kind of a Chavala, that might, you know, contribute more. That's not, oh, you did this and you did that, you did them both at the same time. But that might explain more that there's impact on the question of Tashlumin. So we're holding out for that. Yeah, there's a question? Yeah.
Why do you equate Rishus with a faith with an Avera?
What do I equate?
Can't Rishus be separate from an Avera? Like if you're not Mekayim, something like, you know, something like an
Have to
come
over.
You could be considered a Russia, in a sense.
Right. No, I'm saying is that the Rishos. I think you're right generally, but I'm just talking about in this particular case. All I'm saying is that if you in principle apply the din Kamalei Bidrabamine to Nezek, and the reason that Kamalei Bidrabamine or Potter Mimamon is Mishum Shtei Rishios, Mishum Rishachas Atamachai V'Yatamachai V'Mishum Shtei Rishios, if you take it literally. Right, then you're saying that the tashlumin results from being an act of wrath. That you're labeling it, you're giving it you're basically giving it a value. You're making a value judgment on what this person did. Whereas if we said it's just quid pro quo, you know, there's nothing. Mazik isn't a tsura. It's not Geneva. It's not Zayla. It's not Kabbalah. It's not Rotseach. It's not anything like that. It's just that you know you just. If you deplete his value by $1,000, then of course you have to make him whole again. But then you wouldn't call that a Risha, unless the alternative, which I'm going to get to in a second, is that these phrases, you know, mostly apply, but are also a bit of a Melitza. There's a principle, you know, that is being advocated, which normally is connected to the Surin, but doesn't have to be. And I'll explain what I mean by that in a minute. Yeah.
The difference between Adam HaMazik and
Niske Mamon
is apparently in terms of the attribution to the major player. I am not in Adam HaMazik. I am doing it.
Yeah.
In Niske Mamon, I am not. So we're searching for a link between those two, in a sense.
No, I'm asking the question. So I'm glad you brought that up. So let me just say the following. So far, let's take a step back. What have we done so far? We noted that the Masechta talks about Niske Mamon, it talks about Adam HaMazik. First six prak. Then there's Geneva Gezela, and there's Kabbalah. Right? We've also noted, what's that?
Adam HaMazik and Adam HaGozel,
yeah.
They're reasonably comparable.
Well, let's say Adam HaMazik and Adam HaChovel.
Both Adam HaMazik and Adam HaGozel. In both, I as an actor am the prime.
Correct. Okay. Right. I hear what you're saying. Yeah. We're going to see that in a minute too. Rabbi Yonah thinks that Mazik is a form of Gezel. Question is, does he think that about Niske Mamon or only about Adam HaMazik?
So
I understand. So let me take that point on, and then maybe we'll have to stop, and we'll continue with the rest of it next time. But the reason there are 10 pages here is because we assumed it would take more than one session. But, right. So first thing we did was we pointed out that within Nezik there's Niske Mamon and there's Adam HaMazik. There might be even more because the Niske Mamons themselves might break down. And we'll see that. Obviously throughout the year we'll see that. The next thing we're really focusing on and zeroing in on is that if you take the Rambam Sefer Nezikin or even the other compatriots of the second Bava Kamma, so then there seems to be just in terms of the relationship between something being Osur and something being Chayiv, there seems to be a huge difference between the Torah's treatment, the Gemara's treatment, the Rambam's treatment, right, of Mazik and everything else. Okay? I also noted that the Rambam did something very remarkable in that he took Adam HaMazik out of Niske Mamon and he put it in Hilchos Chovel. Surely that's significant. Okay? Now we're further analyzing this question and noting that on the one hand there are some indications in terms of language at least, Enon Shemin Adin, again, I'm running out of time, so I'll have to document it next week. Ein shliach dvar aveira, kam lebed rabba minei, that we do seemingly call nezek sometimes, an iser, an aveira, an act of rishus, etc. And we're wondering whether that's because they're melitzos and they have different meanings, which I'll examine next week, or maybe it's there's an iser klali that's going on at the same time, like one of these behaftal reachos los sistas, darke shalom, darke noam, hashavas aveda, etc. Or whether it's really more than that, and there really is a role that iser plays in all of this. Oh. So now we still have to go through those makaros, and we will next week, Amir Tzashem. But let's to answer your question, gufo within this question that we're raising, which is there an iser, and is the iser a factor in the tashlumin and in the nechayev of nezek itself? It's very sensible to make certain or to suggest certain chilukim. So let me mention two right off. The first one is what you're just alluding to, and that is just like the Rambam took Adam Amazik, put it in Hilchos Chovel. But he did that for very understandable reasons. Obviously, it was very compelling to him. He may have had textual, you know, evidence too. I mean, Adam Amazik is not obviously in the Parshios and Mishpatim, and if it's not in the Mishnah, you know, if it's not Mabe, you know, which the Rambam thinks it's not, probably, you know, chicken and the egg. But there's very good reason to think that Adam Amazik is closer to Chovel and to Gonev and to Gozel, right, then this came up on this, for the reason that you just mentioned. Adam Amazik is directly acting, he burns down the other guy's field. Right? On the other hand, Adam Mu'ud Li'olam, right, it could even be B'shogeg, right, it might even be B'ones, that's maybe a critical point here, how much Ones. But in the end of the day, right, the connection to Chovel, and the reason the Rambam put it in Hilchos Chovel makes it more palatable, logically reflects that, it doesn't make it, it reflects that it's more palatable as a Maisa Abeira, as a Maisa Mitzuruf to this Gabra, and therefore something which is viewed as a as an untoward, as an act of Rishus or Abeira, you know, maybe B'shogeg, etc. So for example, just to make note of it, the Shiltos, we'll see it inside next time, the Shiltos explicitly only mentions the Isa Lahazik regarding Adam Amazik. The Shulchan Aruch only explicitly mentions the language of Asa Lahazik regarding Adam Amazik. And the Svara, I think that there are good reasons to think that. For example, the Rambam talks about the requirement of tshuva for Mazik. It's a chiddush of the Rambam. People don't realize this because it's the Rambam, so, you know, we just take whatever he says. But if you look at the Makoros of the Rambam, right, it's not so obvious that there should be an obligation of tshuva. But the Rambam Perek Aleph, Hilchos Tshuva, Halacha Aleph, if you look here very quickly, and with this will, here, look on page 10. Right? On the top of the page. Kol mitzvah sheba Torah bein aseh bein los aseh mavar adam malachas mehen. We know this famous Rambam. It's famous for other reasons, not for the reason we're about to discuss. Now look at number line 7. The chein achova b'chaveiro, the hamazik mamono, afa pisha shilem l'mashu chayiv lo, enem eskaper ad shiizvada, v'yoshuv milasas kazeh li'olam, shenemar mikol chata osa adam. Okay? What's fascinating, the Rambam didn't say that you're obligated to do tshuva on the on Nizke Mamon. Right? He compares it to Chovel. How does the Rambam know you have to do tshuva as a mazik? If you look at the Kesef Mishnah, Kesef Mishnah says, Mishnah Bava Kama Sofa Chovel. If you look at that Mishnah, which we have here, we'll look at next week, the Mishnah doesn't say, on the contrary, that's the Mishnah that says that there's a difference, and the Rambam, of all people, the Rambam accentuated this difference in the Mishnah, and that is that when it comes to pius, right? You never, if you're chovel the chavero, then it's not enough to pay him. You have to be mefayis it. And the Rambam says, as a diuk in the Mishnah, right? But you don't have to be mefayis in the case of mazik. You just have to pay. It's very remarkable. The Kesel Mishnah says that's the makar that chovel and mazik require tshuva. There's no makar that explicitly says that, as far as I know, that mazik requires tshuva. But this is part of the Rambam's what I call dialectic. You know, that mazik is part of Kabbalah and it's also short of Kabbalah. Both are true. It's part of Kabbalah, it needs tshuva. It's short of Kabbalah, it doesn't need pius. You could have made a case that if mazik already requires tshuva, maybe it requires pius. It's not explicit in the Mishnah that it doesn't. The Mishnah speaks about pius in Kabbalah. Obviously the Rambam thought Kabbalah, not mazik. But that can't be the makor then, that you need tshuva for mazik, unless you think no, because every chovel applies to mazik as well, just less so. It'll become clear next week. We'll show more examples of it. It's just complicated. But what I'm trying to make is, now the Rambam does believe that there's an Isur of Niske Mamo, but not one probably that you need tshuva for. Why? Because there's a huge difference. So the Shulchan Aruch, the Shiltos, only have Isur by Adam Amaz. The Rambam has both, but he has them differently. That's one major distinction. The second distinction, obviously, is between different Niske Mamons themselves. Particularly born Eish might be different. But the third thing to think about, which I'm going to also document next time, is think about the following question, and then we'll stop here, and we'll pick up with all this next week. Is it more likely that there's an Isur Lahazik, and that the Isur is important in a case where you're Chayav or in a case where you're Potter? Okay? Meaning, there are cases in Bava Kama, there are Mazik cases where you're Potter, because it's too distant, it's grump. Even the relationship between Adama Mazik and this Kemamon, in fact, is a bit of a chiddush, right? Because you could have said, listen, but what Bessie did. It's got to do with me. Right? I just give her hay and so on. I didn't do it. As opposed to Adama Mazik. Right? But let's say Grumma. Not even Garmi. Oh. So it's fascinating. You might, on the one hand, there's a correlation, you know, that makes sense. A direct correlation, and that is the more chai tashlumim, the more intense your involvement and your responsibility and your accountability is in hezek, and the more, therefore, that if it has your fingerprints on it, the more likely it's also considered to be a ma'isa iser. On the other hand, the more chai tashlumim, because you did it directly, the more I can see it in technical monetary terms. You burnt down his field and you're going to pay him. But what if you burn down his field in a way that you don't have to pay him? That might be where there's an Isur. So that's also something, a distinction that we can make. Okay, we still have to figure out what do you do with all the Isurim Gemaras if you hold there's no Isur? And especially we have to figure out, and that's going to take time a little bit, what is the Rambam's view? Why did the Rambam only mention the Isur in Parakeh in a particular case, in a few particular cases in Ilchus Chovel? What really is the key to understanding this principle? Okay, so we'll continue in Mitzvah Shem next week.